a clown, be a clown. All the world loves a clown. Show them tricks, tell them jokes, and you won't stop the top folks. That's a huge baggy fan.
Right now we have listeners who are freaking out. Like Kramer hearing Mary Hart's voice. Because the simple thought of clowns just drives them absolutely crazy. Which is why it's a perfect time to bring on my next guest, Benjamin Radford, who I've had on many times in the past as an investigator for the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. He's also an investigator and columnist for Discovery News and the author of a brand new book simply entitled Bad Clowns. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Welcome back to the show. This is not something where you're scolding them. Bad clown. Bad clown.
I'm not. No, I'm not. I try to avoid the particularly the scary clowns, and nor am I talking about incompetent clowns. The focus of my book is primarily on malicious, malcontented, sometimes evil, otherwise boorish and unpleasant clowns.
So I think probably one of the most famous bad clowns in history had to be a serial killer by the name of John Wayne Gacy, right?
Yes, certainly. Certainly, if you're talking about the real life clowns, in my book, I parse out the fictional clowns. The DC Comics villain, the Joker, for example. You have the Stephen King Pennywise from his novel It, and then the TV miniseries. But then, if you're looking at real life clowns, there are a couple of varieties of them, including stalker clowns, people who dress up as clowns and scare people, basically walk around local parks and cities at night dressed as clowns. But certainly the most famous one is Gacy. He was, of course, a serial killer. He killed, I think, several dozen young men. Although his connection to clowning has actually sort of been somewhat overstated, as you can imagine. He never killed anybody in clown costume. He was actually a building contractor by trade. Because he did on occasion dress as a clown, of course, that's the most sensational part of it. So who can't resist mentioning that?
Oh yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it because I had the story wrong. I thought, oh, here's a guy who went around, put on the makeup, and killed people.
No, a lot of people think that. I mean, and part of that's due to, again, you know, there's lots of, grade B horror films and sort of sensationalized news stories. So, Gacy's connection to clowning is real, but it's also overplayed. I mean, again, a lot of people think that, oh, he dressed as a clown and lured young children. Well, he did dress as a clown, but he didn't kill anybody in clown costume. And in fact, most of the men he killed were young adults and teenagers. They were in their 20s. They were young gay men.
Okay. But I want to go back to something you mentioned about clown stalkers, people who dress up as clowns and go around either trying to frighten people or worse. Are they exploiting fear of clowns, or are they creating fear of clowns? Which is the chicken, which is the egg?
That's a great question. The answer is both. I have a chapter on stalker clowns, and one of the original ones was a man in Northampton, England, that dressed up as the what became known as the Northampton Clown, and he would walk around. He wasn't threatening anyone. He didn't carry a knife or a gun or anything. Of course, you don't need to be threatening and menacing. You just need to dress as a clown at night and walk around, and people will do the rest. And so that actually turned into a fascinating thing where he and his friends created a Facebook page, and people were encouraged to take photos of the Northampton Clown and put on Facebook. So it was a sort of social media performance art prank short before Halloween. But then in later Halloweens and later years, there were copycats and copycats. So other people sort of took up the idea and said, hey, this guy is making international news from scaring people walking around dressed as a clown. So it's very much a chicken and egg thing. They're drawing from a larger, pop culture fear of clowns, and of course contributing to it when the news catches up with them.
Okay, well, obviously there's a reason to fear a stalker clown, just like there would be a fear of stalker plumbers. But where did the original fear of clowns, the whole notion that people are like, a clown, where did that come from?
Well, you know, it's interesting. That's actually a fairly recent development. One thing that I discovered in researching the book is that clowns have always been very ambiguous figures. If you go back and look at the early versions of the clown, the court jesters, the Harlequin, the Mr. Punch, for example, the Punch and Judy show, these sorts of characters, they were never really good. It's not like they turned bad. They were always ambiguous, both having good and bad parts. But the distinctly malicious evil clown is a fairly new phenomena in pop culture. Certainly if you're talking, probably the best known is the DC Comics villain, the Joker, which is portrayed by Heath Ledger and Jack Nicholson in the films, of course.
Yeah.
You could argue that really high profile evil clowns really only date back to the 1980s. When you have Killer Clowns from Outer Space, you had the Stephen King adaptation, which was aired in 1990, and since then, of course, it's just taken off. But again, it's not as if the public idea of an evil clown per se is a fairly recent vintage.
You mentioned Punch and Judy. I don't know anything about this English phenomenon except I remember as a kid seeing it and thinking this is stupid because Punch. Well, he's named Punch because he likes to punch people, and the people he likes to punch are named Judy. But how far back does that go? Is that a 19th century thing or even older?
No, it's much older. It's fascinating. The Punch and Judy show actually dates back, as far as we know, to like 1663. It was first performed in Covent Gardens in London, England. And before that, it was an Italian show. It's fascinating because on a literal basis, you have these two puppets that are killing each other. Mr. Punch is an evil, wife-beating, infanticidal bastard. I mean, he's a thoroughly despicable character.
Yep.
And yet, audiences love him. I mean, it's considered family entertainment throughout England. It's a very British story. But the key to his there's a couple keys to his popularity. One of them is that they include jokes of the day. So the person that performs the Punch and Judy show is named a professor, and he includes there's a basic structure to the script, but it varies by time and location. So for example, a Punch and Judy show being performed yesterday might include a reference to pop culture, to Prince's death, for example, whatever else. And so it keeps it current and keeps it funny. And so there's always been this interesting blend of humor and horror, particularly in evil clowns.
But the violence that was inherent in that, really no different than watching Ren and Stimpy or Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Right.
Or it's that same sort of thing. This one, it just happened to be a guy dressed as a clown.
Exactly. If you look at the original Punch and Judy scripts, Mr. Punch, I mean, basically the structure is that he hears a crying baby, his crying baby, and he gets upset because, of course, who hasn't been annoyed by a crying baby, right? So the script speaks to everyday annoyances that we can all feel. And so even though we wouldn't throw a baby out a window because it's crying like Mr. Punch does, and we wouldn't beat up and kill, our friends and family members, there's a certain everyman appeal where, sometimes clowns in their roles will sort of say things that we want to say but we can't, that wouldn't be socially acceptable to do. And that's one of the running themes about these scary clowns.
You mentioned how this fear of clowns is a more modern thing, really, of the last, couple of decades?
Yeah, pretty much to the 1980s. I mean, there are earlier. I mean, there's a couple silent films that featured scary-ish clowns. But in terms of modern, the idea of a scary evil clown per se, that really dates back about to the 1980s.
Okay, well, does that explain why we no longer see Ronald McDonald?
I have a section on Ronald McDonald in my book. It's fascinating. I mean, as far as evil clowns go, of course he's not inherently evil, but he's been demonized by many activists. For example, people who are against corporate America, and you know, the Ronald McDonald as a clown has become this sort of lightning rod archetype for people who are, you know, against mass, you know, capitalism and consumerism, and so there's actually been reports of people who have gone and decapitated Ronald McDonald statues and held them hostage and tortured them and all sorts of horrific bizarro things. So
does McDonald's
to see how the clown is used in these different capacities.
Does McDonald's even use Ronald anymore? I rarely see a McDonald's commercial, and I don't go eat there anymore. So I'm curious if he's even part of the corporate logo.
I have to be honest with you. I haven't eaten at McDonald's for many years. I like their shakes, and that's about it. My understanding, again, last I recall, you know, there are Ronald McDonald statues. I haven't been to a McDonald's play place. I'm sure your listeners will be lurching to correct us both. But my understanding is that, yes, as far as I know, there are still, you know, like they have little statues on park benches and things like that. So I don't think the Ronald McDonald character has been retired, although it's certainly less prominent these days than it was maybe, say, 20 years ago.
And speaking of less prominent, there was a time when kids would come home from school in the afternoon and there'd be all these TV shows that were hosted by various people that were showing cartoons or Three Stooges shorts or whatever it is. And in many cities, that was a Bozo the Clown franchise.
Yes.
Which I believe was started in Chicago.
That's
but,
right.
But can you imagine if a TV station today wanted to put on an afternoon show hosted by a clown? The clown freakout people would shut that TV station down.
It probably. I mean, it's funny. It's you know, the one of the things that really struck me when I was researching the book and talking to people about it was the clowns are very polarizing figures. I talked to some people who love clowns. They have fond childhood memories, and other people who give me this I just told them I have the plague when I told them I'm writing about a book on clowns. I can't. You know, I remember several people who said bad clowns. That title redundant. Well, you know, I mean, come on, let's be fair. I mean,
no, that's not fair.
You know, there are professional clowns who are good people, and they,
yes,
they try to entertain people. There's a small subset. So I think that what happens is that the bad or evil clown is, in many ways, the clown we love to hate. It's such a great, iconic figure that, you know, it's not going away anytime soon. It's been used everything from the Insane Clown Posse music group to Bozo to, you know, to Pennywise and on and on. So it's here to stay.
Yep. Ben Radford is an investigator and columnist for Discovery News and the author of a brand new book simply called Bad Clowns. Ben, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks. Great to talk to you, too.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.